Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Neal and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We just had a caller who disappeared. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he or she got stage fright when the music started playing. I don't know.
Is it stage fright for radio?
I think it's a general term.
Just stage fright.
Yeah, I think.
You know, psychically, stage fright would mean that in the attitude of changing
right.
to a different stage of life,
right.
you'd be afraid of moving forward. I guess the stage can be a metaphor for that.
Well, I think stage in this case was the metaphor for the person hearing the music and then, you know, not perhaps wanting to be heard on the air. I don't know. Or perhaps they moved on to another show.
So
they, not they. He
this,
or she. I know.
She got a call from the White House to go and cover a news story. And we're sitting here saying she has stage fright.
We don't know what happened.
You're psychic. We should know.
I guess it's true. I'm not really turning on my psychic skills to figure it out.
You know what I'm picking up? That she started to contemplate the nature of existence. She had to go into solitary room. Now I'm really getting this. She had to go into a solitary room and meditate. So at that very moment that our show came on, she had this epiphany that she had to get to the riddle of the universe.
Well, the general tone of our callers is, you know, those are the kind of questions they ask.
Yeah,
deep. Okay, anyway, 914-338-0164. Your hair looks good today, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's cute. You did a good job.
I look like,
actually.
Bingo.
I think it depends on what way you sleep on it.
Yeah.
So again, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, callers. We'd love to hear from you today. That will save us an hour of boring conversation.
there's a great topic coming up.
Oh, you came up with a topic.
Yeah, a great topic.
Oh, great. Surprise me. First we want to invite our listeners and our callers to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. And those pages are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. Actually, we do have a caller. It's Jennifer who has her hand raised. Hi.
Hi. I just have an answer for why they hung up. Because you guys start the show late, so they don't think that it's on. So they think that maybe there's something wrong with their computer. So they call in to hear the show, and then the computer starts up, so they hung up. That's my
answer. But they were in the queue when the music started. So the show had already started, and then they hung up. Because I can watch the queue. I see the queue and the music queued. And they were already there.
Did we start?
Q-U-E
with,
and Q-U-E.
All right. That was my theory.
Maybe 2 minutes.
Oh.
Maybe 2 minutes today.
I didn't know we started the show late.
The caller wasn't actually
You do every
there.
Day.
Oh, we do?
Well, the caller wasn't there when the show started, technically, at the start time. Then the caller came on. So sometimes we'll wait a minute or two for callers.
Are we allowed to start the show early, or do we have to start it right?
I guess we could start it early, but then...
What happens is, as a listener, because you know I listen, is at noon, you wait for the show to start, and then it drops off the main page because it didn't start at noon. So then
it drops off what page?
It drops off Blog Talk page. It doesn't show
you're
the
kidding.
Live show anymore.
You're
yeah.
kidding.
Well, that, I'm helping you.
That's
out.
Not good. That's not good. We're going to start earlier
no.
because that's not good. The fact that it drops off, that shouldn't be.
Well, we're going
to
start.
It comes back once you start the show, but if someone's looking
oh.
for a show to watch at noon, yours drops off because it didn't
but don't
start
you have
at
to
noon.
Don't you have to refresh the page in order for it to reappear?
Well, but if okay, say I'm looking for a show to watch, listen to at noon.
Right.
But, you know, I know that you started late. But if I were looking for a show to start at noon and I go to there at noon, your show wouldn't be there because you didn't start it at noon. It'll
really?
Come back eventually. But by then, they've either gone to another show or gone on with their
oh.
life.
Well, thanks for letting
life,
us know that because we're going to start the show early, well, at least a minute early.
A minute early.
Yeah, we'll do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That's it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't disappear. It should say waiting for host. So that's always what it was like previously.
It
but, you know, I don't.
Yes. You're
when.
Right. Waiting for host to call in. Yeah.
Yeah. When did that change? Do you know?
It's been at least maybe 2-3 months that it's been doing that.
Great. That's not good. I'm going to contact them about that too.
Well, we will start the show 1 minute early. We've got to make sure.
Yeah. How's your job going, Jennifer? You went back to work?
Not yet. I think they might have us start going back in. So
oh, you told us you were going back in 2 weeks, so apparently it was delayed.
Yeah, I'm still getting paid, so I don't care. But they still, there's a lot to figure out. Like, I don't mind because it's not like we have a lot of public that comes to the office. So and the cubicles are spaced out really well. So I don't know. My boss was supposed to call me this morning, but he didn't call. But maybe I'll call this afternoon because I am willing because I live very close. So, you know, I'll go in. I don't care. I'm not too worried about anything.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least you're getting paid and not losing any money based on the fact that you're not having to show up. So that's good.
Yes, I'm winning. I'm winning work.
Well, anything else, Jennifer?
Well,
yeah,
okay, I'm going to bring something up. And
okay.
Because it saddened me when I was watching it yesterday because I don't love to watch the news. But the riots in Minneapolis.
Oh, I knew you were
going
to.
You knew it.
Yeah. I knew when you said you were sad, I figured you were going to mention
was,
the.
That was going to be our topic today.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Well, then I'll let you go on and I'll listen in from the
computer. No.
We would know commentary
your
because.
Okay. It's very disturbing what happened. And it keeps happening. But I don't know what else people can do to have this stop. But then I was talking to a friend who dated a cop for a while. She said, well, they're narcissists, blah, 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 blah. But I said, well, can't they screen that out when, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of psychological testing that goes on before they get to be cops. Like,
you know,
are you a bully? Should probably be one of those.
You know what? The police are trained differently than they were trained, I think, decades ago. They're trained to be prepared for martial law and they have, I think the training they go through is far more geared toward aggressive behavior. I mean, these cops, this happens very often, and I think that's why. I think it's their training, for sure. I mean, I think that's where one area the blame can be placed upon is the training that they go through.
In Canada, because my sister's been married to a cop for a million years, and I know a few of them, but it's not that way. It's more like a customer service job here. It's,
yeah, because
you know,
you
you're
don't
here
have
to
guns,
keep the peace.
Right?
Yeah,
you don't have. They
well,
don't
no,
have
no,
guns.
They have guns. The cops have guns.
Oh, do they?
Oh no.
I'm thinking of England. England, they don't have guns.
Yeah, no, they have guns, but it's
they
more of a you know last resort.
Yeah, in the United States, I think the training is very
first. Ask questions later.
Yeah, I just think that And there's been an uptick in these types of crimes against, you know, against possible criminals, because as it turns out, with this man that was held, he was supposedly passing a check that was a forged check or bad check, counterfeit check, but it wasn't true.
Yeah.
He actually was
not passing a bad check. And that's not even a violent crime, you know?
Was it a bill?
Yeah, $20 bill.
Over a $20 bill that this happened.
Yeah.
$20.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Well, and in Detroit, I saw on the news this week too. I don't even know why I watch the news. They went to go arrest someone at some house, but I guess they had the wrong house. So the woman said, you know, you're at the wrong house. In the meanwhile, her mother came down from two houses down and said, what's going on? And the cop punched the mother in the head 3 times. Yeah. It's ridiculous what's going on.
There was just a newsman from CNN who was arrested covering the riots. And he's sitting there in front of the camera saying, I don't know what I'm being arrested for. I have a permit to cover this. But they arrested him. President Trump now says, in the United States, President Trump now says that rioters should be shot. They should be shot. And if they're arrested, they should be mishandled. They should be roughed up. No niceties.
That's crazy.
In your question regarding this, you know, police brutality and incidentally, Jennifer, a guy can fake a test. He can say, no, I believe in law and order and I'm a gentle person. They can get around the questioning and infiltrate the police force with, you know, under false pretense.
But the psychological testing you go through is pretty rigorous. Tricking a test that takes,
hard. That's not going to weed them out. I don't think it's going to weed them out. I think that there's something deeper going on in our universe about the nature of humankind, meaning that there's a karma. Unfortunately, minorities suffer from a severe karma. They're disadvantaged.
Well, not always.
Let's
just be
now. This is
politically
a
correct
situation, I believe.
Yeah.
That has also occurred way back from pulling human beings out of Africa and taking them on the slave ships and bringing them here, considering them to be property, not human. It's the same thing we do with our animals, that they're just property. They're not really human. The mentality of this. Now, when we get into a specific attitude of this police officer and this individual who is basically innocent, he had a record. He's had a record before of some minor incidents and stuff. But he's a gentleman. He was a bouncer. But everybody noted him to be gentle and kind and funny. He would dance funny for people. He was a gentle giant, they called him. Now, the karma between this obnoxious police officer who spent 9 minutes with his knee on the guy's neck until he was making sure he was dead, even as the paramedics were examining him, making sure that his knee was on his neck until he was good and dead, and the other policemen protecting him. This, to me, aside from the immediacy of the crime and the terror of it all, is a karmic situation. There's a karma that's involved, I think, in so much of our human interaction. Now, that doesn't explain, justify, clarify the immediate conditions of any given situation by far. But when you get into the depths of the examination of evil, of darkness, of duality, of retribution, all of these things falls under the category, many times in my thinking, of karma. Not to justify it, but to help explain the origin of this energy. Now, where does karma come from? I don't know. Outer space, another world, the conditions of how our planet operates under whatever controlling conscious factors there are. Because when you say karma, that's a conscious act.
But when you're
talking, unconscious.
I want to say two things. When you're talking about karma, these four police officers and this man had a past life karma, which is why this situation occurred in this life.
Probably. Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to mention about the minorities is the irony of it is that the man who was standing on guard was, I don't know if he was Korean or Chinese. So he was a minority. And of course, as we know, in the United States, we...
too.
What, the cop?
Yeah, that cop.
Well, they all have records. They all, the cops have complaints, long history of complaints. He actually, the cop that was guarding settled a $25,000 lawsuit for police brutality. And he's still on the force. The other cop, the cop that killed the man, I believe he's been in three different shootings, killing the man in one of them. But as I was saying, the irony of it is the fact that he himself was a minority and, you know, Asians were sent to internment camps in the 1940s here in the United States. So, I mean,
but this is akin to a lynching. I mean, to track this guy down based on a counterfeit passing of a $20 bill and that he supposedly resisted arrest or resisted the officer and became unruly.
Uncooperative.
And then to actually murder this man.
The question about
under the state that he said, "Officer, I'm going to cooperate. I can't breathe."
Well, he was cooperating. I mean, he was obviously passive at the point for quite a while. I didn't see the beginning of the filming.
Yeah, a couple minutes in
where he was.
Later,
I didn't see any resisting. Well, I saw that part, but I'm saying I didn't see any resisting of arrest. So I don't know what happened before. I didn't see that on video, but. If I was being accused of passing a $20 counterfeit bill and it was not counterfeit, I would be resisting too. I would be resisting too. I mean, that's,
well, you wait and you explain it.
I mean, would try, but obviously they used force with him.
Someone can get in possession of a $20 counterfeit bill without knowing it. And yeah, you may be arrested for that, but there's got to be an investigation as to, you know, where the bill came, obviously. If you're running a counterfeit operation, that's one thing.
Different, but when they tried to detain him, and I don't know if there's a video of that part of the...
No, these cops were bigots.
I'm sure, I know.
They were dirty bigots.
But what I'm saying is I don't know if there was... I don't know how far back that video starts, if the beginning of the arrest is caught on video.
But Jennifer, you can interject anytime you want.
Oh no! Like it's. I'm very interested by your perspective on it.
Well, what do you feel? I mean, obviously you're siding maybe with the victim, but you can elaborate.
Of course. I'm sided with the victim for sure. But I think my biggest dilemma is how do we get this to stop? You know, if there are a few of us, I would say maybe 20% of the population, if I had to take a guess, that believes we're all one and believes we're all equal. But there are, 80.
Well, you better sit beside Martin Luther King. I don't think it's ever going to stop. I think we get into this moment of being solemn, but don't you take sides,
exactly.
You're not going to change. There are villains out there, bad people, who believe that blacks and minorities are unruly and that their life is of little value and that when they defy the law according to what their perspective is, they should be put down. But they're already running with this energy. We have to make attempts, Jennifer, to increase human compassion and things like this. But how many times... Bob Dylan said the answer is blowing in the wind, and he's right. He's absolutely right. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to root out a large portion of dark human nature.
Well, and I think there's also another problem we're facing. I mean, for instance, being in this coronavirus epidemic, and now the hands of the law are... tighter around the people. You know, there's more restrictions on our behavior, and I believe it's going to get worse, not better. I believe it's going to get worse, not better.
So, I think you're right, Kristen.
To answer, I mean, what we might, that people might be recruited who are apathetic and decide to finally take a stand, but those people who are dark to begin with, They're rooting. They're probably drinking beer over this. They don't care. And unfortunately, that's the world. I think what gives us hope is that there are those people who are actively going to be involved in civil rights.
I have another case to mention. There, I don't know, Jennifer, if you saw the video of the woman in Central Park who accused this black man of trying to kill her because he asked her to put the dog on a leash. Did you see that video?
Oh, that was a while, like last year?
No, it was this week, actually.
Oh,
it was this
week.
Yeah. And yeah. So there's now, she was fired from her job at a major corporation, and the dog has been taken away from her. But now she's receiving death threats, and the man who she accused of trying to kill her is now speaking out and saying, please stop threatening this woman's life. I mean, she was a nut for sure. But then these people in defense of this black man start to threaten her life. She's a white woman, but that's insane too. So, I mean,
I mean, you know, even in her call to the police, there's a black African American assaulting me.
Well, I know, and that's debated too, because people are saying, well, that was racist. And others are saying, well, that was a description. You're supposed to provide as a description. I do think she's bigoted too. I do. But
she apologized, but
you have to describe, you know, if you're calling the police on someone and say she was legitimately doing so, you have to provide a description of the person.
You know, Jennifer, everybody can have lengthy conversations and debates and have protest songs and civil rights movements, burn buildings, take people to court. The tragedy is that as a humankind is in this position to begin with, that we have to correct ourselves to become civil and human. That we should be in a place where that's the origin of human existence, not something that we have to fight to establish. And that's the tragedy of it all. And it's the tragedy of our species that we are so violent towards one another, especially when there's undue circumstances or accusations, or when people accuse somebody of something and they become a victim. People who have been released from jail being convicted of a murder, and 30 years later they're acquitted because they didn't do it, and they leave jail gracefully, thankfully. I mean, the human nature is, we just can't seem to get it centered in any one position. It's just not going to happen. That's the unfortunate. But the voices that do appraise civil rights and the welfare of human beings and help, that shows us that as a species, we're not hopeless. There's something there about us that is more than just duality. And that, I think, is something we just have to promote and be aware of, aside from trying to examine the origins of evil nature, which is, you know, it's rooted all the way back in time. It's always been this way, and it's never going to change.
Do you think that it stems from a mentality of lack?
Well, you know, the system of lack is to cry. When you're a baby and you're lacking something, the primitive sound is to cry. And if your needs aren't met, then the next stage is to either become inward and suffer, or to start to act out. Babies will act out. Little mm-hmm. children, when they don't get their way and they need something, they'll act out. They'll protest. It's rooted in our nature, because the idea of the cry of protest is survival. It's about survival. And survival means more than just a paycheck. Survival means that you can walk down the street without having fear that you're going to be arrested because of the color of your skin or because you're wearing a certain clothes. Even amongst the blacks, if you're wearing the wrong colors and you enter a territory, you'll be killed. So we have this
Well, that's,
warped
I mean,
mentality.
That's, yeah, and it's not only blacks. I mean, there's Hispanic gangs, so, and there's white gangs, so let's be.
I can't sit here and mention everybody. Okay.
I know. I just,
everybody.
It's important not to.
But, you know, Jennifer, I think it's in our nature. And as we are more empowered as adults to act out and protest, it's not a great leap from being a baby. Protesting, most people, when they protest, they're just not doing it because they woke up in the morning and it was raining. They're protesting because of a deep-rooted problem in the system. And things aren't right. And it's their very survival. And if they don't protest, then people become apathetic and it becomes the norm. And that's more frightening. It's more frightening that this would be accepted as a norm than somebody burning down a building. Now, that's not nice. That's not good.
Right.
You don't ruin people's property and you're unruly.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, peaceful protest is one thing, but
yeah.
The protests have gotten completely out of hand. And unfortunately, what's happening is in danger. This is endangering innocent people's lives.
You don't break into somebody's store and steal their things because, I mean, that's ridiculous, too.
Exactly. That's which is akin to the discreet.
And the police have to be called in. Then the police look bad controlling the mob. But it just, unfortunately, the forums and the corners of discussion are not going to solve the problem. But they remind us that there are people out there that care, that are active, and that are not willing to sit back.
What was that movie we just watched? Oh, gosh, what was that? It was that movie
was
about...
Was it Do the Right Thing?
No, it wasn't a racial movie. It was
that
about,
was a good one, though.
It was about the end of the world. And it was they had this breathing... What was that movie?
I don't know. Something... I don't know. Something about having a problem with your virus or something.
Right, and so what was... I mean, it was really... bold in the way it presented. I mean, it was just not, it was stark and there was no, it was just.
Contagion? No. No, it wasn't. Anyways.
Well, the whole point is the movie, the behavior that the people in the movie were, I mean, it was like complete, and no one cared about their fellow man anymore because everyone was so afraid of getting this virus. That it was like, you know, every man for himself. So as we, I think as society starts to deteriorate and we get closer to the end times, this is, like I said, there's going to be worse conditions, not better. People aren't, it's not going to turn around where everybody, you know, stands up for their, you know,
it's not
fellow
the Pepsi
man.
Not the Pepsi generation. It's unfortunate. Yeah, we're in this place, Jennifer. But it's just the fabric of society is deteriorating all around the world, and it's just nothing new. But we just have to, when things like this happen, and they'll keep happening. There's nothing. I mean, there'll be some discussion, but we've become so immune. To events. I mean, the generation born after 2000 doesn't even know about the war, the Holocaust. We forget.
Mm-hmm.
And if we forget, we're in danger of what's coming forward. If we aren't reminded of what our history is all about. And everything's
also
breaking down. Even
right,
our
look,
educational
I mean,
system is breaking down.
Yeah.
You know,
the kids aren't even losing out. Right now.
It's more than just they're going out and playing baseball instead of studying, not all the kids. But we're losing the fabric of education.
Yeah. I mean, I watched a video part of it with the director of the superintendent's schools in California talking about, you know, what they're going to do in fall and how it's going to be up to the individual districts. There's no, it's not going to be uniform in every district. kids are going to be on computers. We already know that that's not working. Kids aren't studying. And, you know, you can go poll people in the neighborhood and ask, are your kids studying 6 hours a day on their computer?
Even computers? In universities, they're eliminating the SAT test. Well, they say it's culturally prejudiced and that it's not fair to do those tests. But the tragedy is that we're losing the discipline of intelligence. We're forgetting what it is to be intelligent. We lowered the bar, and everything intelligence is now marked by Facebook and Twitter and all these other ridiculous things that are, to me, not ridiculous in terms of the technology, but the content.
The content. Well, there is, I have to speak up and say that there is content that is valuable.
There is content.
But yes, most of it, or a lot of it, is littered with
littered
junk.
And as Orwell said, we don't, misinformation. Everything's a conspiracy. Where's the truth? You just spin it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You just spin it. And the consequences of our actions are not long suffering.
What were you going to say, Jennifer? Go ahead.
I'm not pointing a finger at the U.S. by any stretch of the imagination. There's still a caste system in India. You know, women can't walk by themselves in Africa. You know, every single country doesn't have an equal footing for every member of society. So it's not just the U.S. It's international.
That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, Americans shouldn't just look at themselves and feel guilty or anything like that, because it's all over. It's not just America.
Well, I remember an old show in the 50s from your country, the Northwest Mounted Police. It was a half hour black and white show. I used to watch it all the time. And it was about the Canadian police force on horseback. It was such an old show, but I can't remember the exact title, but it was to me, I loved watching it because it was just new and novel for me. And I don't know if you remember that show. It was from the 50s, well before your time, but it was a popular show. I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, it presented the Canadian police as these gentlemen on horseback who were very stern. They did law and order, but they were ethically and morally responsible. And, you know, there were no shades of corruption in that series.
But I don't even...
It was a black and white series with a black and white tone of mentality, meaning you're good or you're
evil.
Bad. Northwest Mounted Police or something.
Do you know the show, Jennifer? No.
But I'm sure it's been pretty big for a while.
If you Google the police shows from the 50s coming out of Canada, I'm sure you'll find it. And it had a famous actor in it that I used to follow a little bit too. But, you know, you're right. We in some ways, we have a lot of rights here that, you know, other countries don't have. People in underdeveloped countries having to walk 5 miles for a gallon of water and stand in long lines. I mean, the world is a mess.
We have that in the United States too. I mean, there's poverty and people without cars and people without running water. And even in the projects, I mean, poor living conditions. So it's everywhere. And then we have the leader of the free world who's a complete buffoon. That's really, who knows what's going to happen next year?
Well, you know, it would be nice if the leader of the country stressed unity and not diversity. And thinking that the attitude that we are separate war camps. And that Democrats should be shocked.
But you know the irony
they're better off dead.
Another irony is that Trump was a registered Democrat. So did you know that, Jennifer? I mean, he demonizes Democrats.
There was a thing in the paper that said he was going to run for president I don't even know what he is. Is he Republican?
Yeah.
I'm going to run as... for president as a Republican because they're the dumbest lot of voters and they'll fall for anything. I think that was probably true.
Well, it's, you know, the parties are supposed to balance one another.
Well, I mean,
there's supposed to be checks and balances. President Trump doesn't recognize checks.
And now he's saying things like, he posted a video on Twitter, now there's a big executive order going on with controlling the media companies, social media platforms, controlling the content, actually, which I don't disagree with. I think that there should be laws pertaining to freedom of speech should be recognized on social media platforms, and they shouldn't be allowed to control so much their content as tightly as they do. So in a way, it's good. But I mean, on the same token, for Trump to post a video and say the best Democrat is a dead Democrat, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You know, I don't know who's going to win. Orwell with his Newsweek in 1984 and Animal Farm, or Kafka with his trial. And now with the pandemic, Camus with his The Plague. We don't know who's going to come out as the hero of prophecy, and just in terms of our literary figures. But we are heading into a society where misinformation is becoming information, and where the truth is only in the eyes of the beholder, and where the tongue can say anything it wants, and the ears have no filter to comprehend what is really actual and factual. Even President Trump disrupts our news systems. He fears the truth. What he loves is distortion that fits his ego, that fits his reelection, that fits his economic interests and his power. And he's used the United States as a toy box, like he's playing, like he has fun making these statements, because he loves to manipulate. And then he feels that by manipulation, he can gain power through manipulation. I mean, it stems back to the greatest fears we have, that we've forgotten what the Constitution is about, which is about protecting the people, not protecting the president, who is supposed to represent the people. And so the issue of power becomes now every man for himself. And it was almost like that funny movie, A Mad, Mad, Mad World, where all those zany characters say, well, it's every man for himself, and they all dash off in their cars to search for the money that's hidden under the big W, for probably responding to the world itself, what a mess we are. But, you know, Jennifer, I don't know. You know, we're going on and on. It's probably
uplifting.
This is the spiritual hour.
but, you know, at least we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But I want to do more than just talk about it. But I don't want to ransack a Target store.
No.
No, you've got to ransack Walmart. Not Target.
Walmart, yeah.
You know, we all have to ask ourselves, Jennifer, what has been our individual participation in making this a better world? I think we all have to go into a closet and ask ourselves that.
Into a closet?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Some people have to come out of the closet.
And right. Come out with a whole different idea of sexuality.
Yeah.
My preference are mockingbirds. But,
oh, God.
You have to ask yourself, Jennifer, before you leave this planet, what have you done to make it a better place?
Well, she's, you know, and this brings up a good point. She's in immigration.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you're directly dealing with people from all different backgrounds. And do you process them through to become citizens or to gain entry?
Refugees. Yeah. But I also volunteer for Congress, so I feel like I'm doing something.
Yeah.
You guys do the show and help people, you know?
Yeah.
We're helping.
Yeah.
Our heads aren't stuck up our asses.
Right. It's terrible to be displaced, to not have your homeland, to not feel safe there, and mm-hmm. to seek asylum. and then to be caught in the legalities of having a safe place to go to. I mean, the Statue of Liberty is a joke, at least in this administration.
Right. I mean, she's.
We're not in our country.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost our ideals. And maybe there is some logic to it. Maybe we have to have some parameters of control.
Well, there should be parameters of control, but there, right now what's happening, I've been reading, is that they're trying to separate children from the parents in the detention centers, or they have been.
Yeah, they have been.
And so now the parents are facing never seeing their children again, and vice versa, the children never seeing their parents again. It's horrible, and the human rights issue that we're facing in dealing with these people that are trying to get in the United States and how they're treated and what the conditions in which they're held. I mean, it's just a mess.
You know, you don't talk about a mass migration of people and then yell they're rapists, they're murderers. I mean, this is absurd. It's absurd. But this is what we do. We tend to group numerous people together and categorize them. They're vermin. They're lice.
Vermin.
They're vermin. Yeah, they're lice. It's we've done it throughout history, and it's just a shame that, you know, now we're caught in this. First is the pandemic. Now this innocent man being murdered under the knee of a police officer who's supposed to be protecting us. And now he's killed. No reason. The guy didn't have a gun or anything. He's sitting on the ground.
No.
With four policemen there. And he's deciding, because of his anger issues, to kill him. He knows he was going to kill him. 9 months. 9 minutes on a man's
neck.
Throat.
And, you know, mm-hmm. as I read, I'm just kind of scrolling through Facebook. Many police agencies are speaking out and saying this is never what we train officers to do.
No.
And I understand that may be true, but there is an attitude that prevails in the training.
It
of
goes
police.
Down to if a landlord,
I don't
if a landlord rents their home out to a group of people and they have a party and someone is killed, the landlord may be responsible. The level of responsibility goes deep. And no, you can't control the policeman. And what you're saying is true, Jennifer. Maybe there needs to be a better screening process going on. But the responsibility has to be taken by everybody in the police department across the entire United States, even if it reaches into other areas like Canada and stuff. Everyone has to be responsible, because if we're responsible and we care, these things won't happen. These things won't happen. You know, Chris and I watched this show Cops, and they display these cops like they're somewhat passionate, like they're out to get the bad guys. But in the depiction, supposedly that's candid and real. Most of the cops come across as being human beings.
Well, yeah, you do get a few bad ones, but cops are going to behave differently when there's a camera rolling. Now they have body cams, but I mm-hmm. think that, you know, with cameramen, there's a different, I think policemen forget that they're wearing body cams sometimes. And so you get more of a real flavor for what they're doing from day to day. But when there's police, you know, when there's a camera crew, they're going to be adjusting their behavior accordingly.
Yes. It's funny, back in the late 60s, two movies came out that were against each other being the best movie of the year. Bonnie and Clyde, about two renegades robbing banks and the police officers going after them, and In the Heat of the Night, about a white bigoted sheriff and a black police officer detective who is accused of doing a crime. And then the investigation incurs and Sidney Poitier and Rod Steiger. That won Best Picture over Bonnie and Clyde, which was probably a better movie.
Bonnie and Clyde
was a better movie, Arthur Penn. But In the Heat of the Night was still, it probably touched something about race relation. And at the end, this bigoted cop Rod Steiger, says, "You take care of yourself, you hear?" to Mr. Tibbs, the Sidney Poitier playing the black detective, in showing a crime and getting somebody innocent off the. But it took the sheer perseverance of a black detective to bring reality to that stage. And, you know, I was glad it won Best Picture. But then again, we have to get back to the idea of what race relation is. There was also a movie called The Defiant Ones, Tony Curtis and Sidney Poitier, who were two chained convicts that escaped from a wrecked train. And Tony Curtis was a pure bigot, but they had to get along. I mean, you know, when we look into the idea of fiction, not only just The Invisible Man and Ralph Ellison and great works of art that have been done by terrifically talented black authors, and we need to establish a better sense of human dignity, I think, instead of considering that we put all these people in these caste systems or stereotype and we treat them like criminals, like they're less than human. I mean, can you imagine a dog that bit a boy and the dog catcher came out to get the dog? Instead of just putting him in the truck, he chokes the dog to death after the dog is sitting there whimpering. Oh. I mean, that's no less than a human being. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what this has to do with a psychic power, but if we get into if we stretch it into karma, and we stretch it into the origin of the species, survival of the fittest, or just the root of what evil energy is, then we maybe can incorporate some sloppy sense of karma to the whole issue, which doesn't justify anything. It just tries to explain in a very clumsy way why we are the way we are and why we come back to the planet and harm one another. Life could be so much easier if we didn't do that.
But that's not the nature of the planet.
No.
Unfortunately.
I'd like to wave a magic wand and make it all better.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice thought. It's a nice thought.
You know, actually, there's truth to that. That's the rainbow that was after the flood. That was supposed to make everything all better. The promise that the world wouldn't be destroyed again, that we have some sort of God figure that will wave a magic wand over that from heaven to the earth and make peace. You know, it's a nice idea, but it could be a fable. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that Jennifer, look up on YouTube, Alex Jones, I have mixed feelings about this person. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's a conspiracy theory guy. He infiltrated, what's it called, in Russian River? You know, the camp where everybody goes that's famous. And they burn the effigy there. What is that?
Oh, the fire man?
It's Burning Man? No, Bohemian Grove, and it's a men's club essentially, but elites go there, and he infiltrated it. But he does all these movies. He's conservative, you know, or libertarian, I guess. I guess that's what he is politically. But he does all these documentaries, and I don't agree with all his views. But there's a movie I watched many years ago, and it's probably on YouTube. Called Martial Law 911 Rise of the Police State. And he goes into great lengths explaining what's happening in police training and what they're preparing for. So it gives some insight into behaviors like kneeling on a man's neck for 9 minutes and why that's happening more frequently nowadays than in the past. Because Neil, you came from a generation where, I mean, police brutality, I'm sure there was police brutality, but not to this degree.
No, we had our riots. I mean,
well, there were riots. The Watts riots, I guess.
Even with the hippie generation, you know, even with the hippies, there was...
Well, I think I'm reaching farther. farther back, maybe, than the 60s. I know there was a lot of unrest
back in the 50s. I mean, I remember seeing restrooms for the colored and getting on a bus and the colored had to go to the back of the bus. I remember that.
Really?
But I wasn't brought up to think that way. I was brought up, to be a human being. But I noticed that. And I remember going to a summer camp, and in the camp, there were only two black kids in that camp. And they were picked on. I remember trying to befriend them. Not that I was any kind of hero or anything, but I know what it felt like to be ostracized. So, the even in that camp mentality, there was a sense of impurity. In other words, blacks, they shouldn't be in the camp. What are they doing here? They should be picked on. They shouldn't be here. And God forbid they were in the same cabin as other white kids. And the kids were curious about, what they look like and all that, undressed. And I still remember that. They're making fun of them and stuff like that. I mean, it's tragic.
Yeah, and I guess in the South, there was obviously tons of police brutality. But I think the frequency of such events, it's not isolated to a certain area of the country. I mean, it's happening everywhere. And I think back then it was different. It wasn't as widespread.
No. And when we get into one of the most popular books ever written, at least popularity wise, To Kill a Mockingbird, and the man who played him, Brock Peters, I happen to have met him in L.A., a very dignified man. I mean, his role was dignified in terms of that movie, but it was a tragic element. But again, they had to get the white messiah. What's his name?
Gregory Peck.
But played him, but I forget his name. Death. Anyways, that he had to save him. The white man has to save.
Atticus Finch.
Atticus.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I remembered correctly. I mean, I read that book when I was
But
nine.
Here, again, the misinformation. He was accused of doing something he didn't do. And yet he was still killed. He was lynched. He was killed. And the idea that that we live in a society where we cannot trust the legal system. It's common. And there's nothing outstandingly surprising about that. But yet we have to count on it. And we're not saying that the legal system isn't also authentic and original and purposeful and valid. But it's a shame that there has to be this sense of duality in all aspects of our existence. It's just something we have to live with. But here we are on the show, Jennifer. Did you have any other questions?
Yeah, we've got.
I gotta go.
Okay, we're keeping her.
Okay, well,
okay,
we appreciate
I'll listen online.
Okay, take care. Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Content. Bye.
You.
Okay. Well, she's she helped us out today.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because she brought up the topic that I think.
Getting
ready to discuss.
Well, I had no idea because we didn't discuss the topic today. And
when you think about it, a $20 bill brings out this whole crisis. It handed to one human being from another, and the person who's handing it happens to be black. Now, what a white person.
Well, then.
It might have been shrugged off. But this, we don't know every moment of this encounter.
But I've had bills examined, $20 bills examined when I've presented them.
Yeah.
I've had them look at my money at certain places. So it's not something examining money to determine, especially if you're passing larger bills, to determine whether it's counterfeit is not, it happens to white people too.
Yeah,
it's happened to me. But what was the karmic connection between the woman who took the bill, or was it a woman that took the bill?
I think so.
And looked at the bill and questioned it and called the cops, and that man. I mean, it's
very interesting. Yeah. Karma. And I can't help but examine things on a karmic level as to how, what occurs. I think there's good aspects to karma too. Karma brings people together and unites people. People get married through karma.
And have children.
And good things happen. You know, I think even Christ himself spoke of karma when he knew what was going to happen. He was predestined. And he knew what he was going to have to experience.
Right. Even someone like Christ, who was, you know, the Son of God, had to go through karma, because once you are on the earth plane, it is in a physical body, you have to experience karma.
And he had to go through a ritual, you know, be baptized. Yeah. So the idea is that every time we enter the planet, we have to repeat the process. And we keep, and I believe we keep coming back until we get the process right, and we do the right, we achieve all goals. So our message is to be the best you can be, fulfill your life, your destiny.
Isn't that the motto for the Army? Be the best you can be. Be all that you can be.
Be all that you can be.
Yeah, it was this little jingle, I think, in the 80s. Anyway, okay, well, that's it for today. And perhaps we will speak with more of you on Wednesday. We're going to try starting the show a little early, but I don't know that the music will cue, so we'll see what happens. Okay, we're back at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.